From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. An Army sergeant hurt in the deadly shooting rampage at Fort Hood, Texas last year paints a horrific picture of that day when 13 people were killed and 32 were injured. The testimony came at the Article 32 hearing to determine if Major Nidal Hassan will stand trial. NPR's Wade Goodwin has been covering today's testimony.
He saw Major Hassan get up, go to the front desk. The room was packed with soldiers that day. And talked to a woman who got up and left. And then he turned around, yelled, "Allahu Akbar," and pulled out a weapon from under his combat fatigues and began firing. One of the weapons had a laser beam on it, and he began to shoot steadily and quickly. Bam, 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 bam.
NPR's Wade Goodwin reporting. 20 miners are now safely on the surface at the San Jose mine in Chile, and work continues to rescue those left who are among the 33 who became trapped underground, nearly a mile underground, in early August. Pro-Republican special interest groups say they are launching a coordinated push against House Democrats who had previously been considered relatively safe. NPR's Peter Overby says the drive will cost $50 million, making it unprecedented in U.S. congressional elections.
The groups call it a House surge strategy. They're targeting well-funded Democratic incumbents, intending to weaken those incumbents with attack ads and boost underfinanced Republican challengers. The three groups are American Crossroads, the American Action Network, and the Commission on Hope, Growth, and Opportunity. Unlike political party committees, they can raise money without limits, and most or all of their donors can remain anonymous. The surge was first reported by the Wall Street Journal. Also today, American Crossroads says it has surpassed its total fundraising goal for the campaign. It set out to raise $50 million, it now has $56 million, and it's aiming for $65 million. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.
The Democratic Republic of Congo is hailing the arrest in Paris of an alleged leader of a Rwandan rebel group. More on this from NPR's Afabia Quist-Arkton.
As a suspected leader of the Rwandan Hutu FDLR rebel group, Kalix Mbarushimana is wanted by the International Criminal Court in The Hague. He stands accused on 11 counts of crimes against humanity in the Democratic Republic of Congo. These include killings, rape, and persecution. Rwanda maintains that his rebel group is the rump of the forces responsible for the 1994 genocide of mainly Rwandan Tutsis by the then-extremist Hutu regime.
NPR's Afabia Quist-Arkton. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 112 points at 11,132. This is NPR. The FBI has arrested dozens of people in connection with an international Medicare scam amounting to $100 million. Some of those arrested today were in New York City and Los Angeles and have links to Armenian organized crime. Authorities say the suspects stole the identities of doctors and patients, established bogus clinics, and submitted fraudulent Medicare claims. Nutrition information on the front of a box of food can help consumers make better choices about what they eat, according to the Institute of Medicine, which advises Congress. But as NPR's April Fulton tells us, it's the kind of information consumers are getting that matters.
Labels like whole grain, low carb, and smart choice have popped up on cereal boxes and snacks in the last several years. But the Institute of Medicine report says what consumers need most is information on calories, sodium, saturated fat, and trans fat. These nutrients are strongly linked to the diet-related health risks most Americans face, risks like diabetes and heart disease, the report says. Less useful is labeling about sugar, total fat, cholesterol, carbs, and vitamins, it says. The report comes as the Food and Drug Administration is considering standardizing nutrition information on the front of food cans and boxes. The Institute will issue a second report on how consumers use this kind of information next. April Fulton, NPR News, Washington.
The Environmental Protection Agency is approving the use of higher concentrations of ethanol in gasoline for newer vehicles. Currently, the maximum blend allowed is 10%. The EPA is raising that limit to 15%. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.